Go. Good evening, if it is indeed evening. It'll be evening somewhere when you're listening to this. Maybe not where you are, but that's, you know, I'm not a flat earthist, so I think it is a different time, different parts. Is this what you wanted?
Did you just say that you're not a flat earth or a flat earther?
Earthist.
Oh, earthist.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I think they call themselves earthists.
Earthists?
Earthists. They like to be identified
as. Oh, right. Okay.
Trans-earth.
They don't believe in grammar either.
No, absolutely not.
Are you a flat earthist?
I am a flat earthist as of now. Okay. Yes.
Right. Why?
Just because wherever I walk, I don't feel like I'm...
On a ball.
Yeah, wouldn't we all just feel like we're on a hill constantly?
Don't you feel like you're like, you know, constantly sort of balancing on the top of a beach ball, like a Victorian circus freak?
If I look in the distance, I can see it straight in front of me.
Why do things come over the horizon then?
Why do you think? Well, it doesn't, because there is no horizon, because the Earth is flat.
Oh, God, you got me, haven't you? All right, well, here we are. For Live at the Backyard Comedy Club podcast number... wasn't there?
35.
which number are we?
35.
Are we at 35?
We're at 35.
God, it feels like we've done far more than that. This week's guest is the very funny Andrea Hubert, talking about how much joy she gets from her holes.
We were specifically requested not to say that.
Okay.
You can comment, by the way.
Am I allowed to say anything?
Yeah, if you want to comment.
No, you're not
going to
be here for the introduction.
I'm here for the introduction, and that was misleading in the extreme.
Andrea just kicked in the door as David was saying this.
It's not a sex show. It's called Holes of Joy. It's a show about... Well, it's not about Buddhism. Do you know what? Carry on.
Well, you've just met her. I hope you enjoy the show.
Wait, don't forget to follow her.
Oh, yes, follow her at Shut Up Andrea. At Shut Up Andrea.
On Twitter.
Are you on Instagram?
No.
Okay, she's not here. good. I hope you enjoy the show. Release the terabytes!
Think something had happened, either a review or someone had been terrible in an audience, and you were just fuming, and you'd ordered like a big pile of nachos and you're eating them super angry and just sort of ranting, and someone was like, that guy's David Whitney, and I was like, okay, say hi another time.
I like the idea that there is people circling you. That guy is David Whitney. Yeah.
And I like the idea that it's an obelisk size nacho. Really, so you're just behind.
It was definitely a big one. You were just like, I don't fucking care. It was really funny.
He sat in the middle of it, just eating his way out.
I didn't even know they served food in the loft bar of the Gilded Balloon.
That's how mad you were. You forgot that you ordered food.
I forgot the bar that I was in didn't serve food. And I made nachos with my anger.
Yeah.
Where am
pile
I?
Pile of angry nachos.
Everyone loves an angry nacho every now and then. That's funny. That's the first time you met him.
Yeah. Well, I would say not met, exactly.
He's in a hungry rage.
But it was worse than hangry, because the anger was not about hunger.
Oh, no, I think, the eating was probably trying to, like, I've got to do something physical.
Yeah, I've got to do something, I can't punch a wall because my colleagues are watching. Yeah. So I'm going to furiously
I put the wall in
through.
My face instead.
Yeah. And the need to be delicate as you eat each one to not shatter it, because it will calm you down.
Angrily eating nachos means you will have dirty hands.
Yeah.
Because you can't eat them politely.
Rule number one, you can't punch anything with dirty hands.
No. That's why I carry hand sanitizer.
I've got it too. Yeah, I always freaked out when the these things, because I always was like, can they hear us? Can they see us? But of course, no, they can't.
Not yet.
There's
not
no
yet.
They. Yeah.
They.
Well, I mean, there's Cambridge Analytica.
Yeah, I'm not terribly worried, to be honest. Because
if you don't want something to be out in the world, don't put it on Facebook in the first place.
Well, I think that also one can assume that all that data was going to be used. I already kind of knew that. Like, I'm not shocked. You know, when you say something and then you're like, oh, I've really want to try, I don't know, like I need a new ribbon for my hair. That's a really bad example because I'm not five. But but then the next
but you
minute
are
you're getting
some delightful ribbons.
Thank you so much. But I am. Then you get it on your, you know, your Facebook. You get like advertising for whatever you just said. So you can't sort of say, oh, I'm shocked that this is happening, because it's been happening forever.
Mm. Well, I mean, they even have to roll back. I can't remember what book I read this in. I think it was something about, it wasn't about the internet, it was about like being productive or something. But basically, companies have had to sort of resist how much they showing you how much they know, because they realise if they show you exactly how much they know about you, how you'll get creeped out.
Yeah.
So there was a famous case where a girl, an underage girl, was pregnant, and Google Ads started showing her cots and baby stuff, and her father took umbrage and complained, "How dare you be advertising to my daughter? She's underage." But she some way through what she was searching for,
well, or her emails.
Google. Well, her no, emails. She didn't know yet.
Oh, she didn't know she was pregnant.
No.
So how on earth?
Habits.
Of pregnancy?
Yeah. Fish finger and ice cream sandwiches.
Wow. Do you know what? That's actually quite... If they broke the news of her pregnancy to her just because they understood her weird cravings and mood swings, that is terrifying.
Or convenient. Save you on pregnancy tests.
I don't know if I'd call it convenient. It depends how big the discount was of the things they were offering.
You know,
if they're sending great deals, but if they're just parroting, then that's one thing. But if they're parroting back your thoughts at you with a price tag, that's quite another.
Like, you know, feel like you've got AIDS, need someone to talk to. Oh my God, I was only Googling about being tired yesterday.
Yeah, that is one classic symptom.
Sleep.
How am I losing all this weight?
All you get advertised to is CrossFit and AIDS.
I don't think they're selling you AIDS.
No.
Nobody's monetized AIDs.
No.
Yeah, I think the drug companies massively have.
Well, not to get it.
No, true. But I think that, you know, the drugs are pretty expensive.
Mm.
So, why are we talking about AIDS?
Because it's...
Oh, right. Okay. It's
comedy.
Just classic comedy stuff.
Classic comedy. Classic comedy. Gallows humour.
Yeah.
I saw something in American, what do they refer it to? Is they call it like foxhole humour or something like that?
Oh, yeah. We call it living room humour. Where like if you're going to say something disgusting, you sort of have to be in the safety of your living room with your chosen people so that they know that it's only to be said in the living room.
Who's we?
You said, and my flatmates.
Oh, yes. Right. You said chosen people.
Yeah. Like your chosen people, like the people who...
How did you select your flatmates? Was there a series of tasks?
No, but I like that. I think that's a great idea. No, they're just their friends. So, but
were they friends before being flatmates?
Yes. So I suppose the idea is that certain people you trust, you can do really gross jokes that you wouldn't take onto the stage because those people wouldn't necessarily know that you didn't really mean whatever it was you just said. Yeah. Whatever it is that you're doing in the living room, it stays in the living room. If you take it on stage, you better have a really good punch.
Like a comedy fight club.
Yeah. Well, kind of, but it's like, you know, the guys who sit around in the pub and they're like, oh, my mate's the funniest guy there. Yeah, but that doesn't translate to the stage. And it's sort of the same thing. Like, that shit doesn't translate.
Do you live with comedians?
Yes, I do.
Oh, who do you live with?
I live with Chris Betts.
Oh, yeah, I love Chris Betts.
Phil Ellis.
This could be awkward if you hit upon somebody I don't know. If I go, I love that guy.
Phil Ellis is my flatmate.
I have met Phil a couple of times.
Phil's
he seems
a good
adorable.
Lad. And Evelyn Mock is my flatmate.
I don't know Evelyn.
Evelyn's a brilliant comedian. She's fantastic.
Yeah,
person.
I know of her.
And I used to live with John Hastings, but he has gone away.
Gone.
We replaced him
to jail.
I like the idea that he's gone to jail, walking around doing comedy in jail. But no, I think he went to Australia. But he insisted on
stay
in the group chat for the house. He won't let us kick him out.
Oh, he's permanently gone to Australia.
I'm not sure if he's permanently in Australia, but he's gone for the moment.
Mm.
But, you know, I don't miss him. I do miss him a little bit.
I've always wondered about that. Why those particular Brits that love the idea of going to Australia, who want to move
John's
there.
John's Canadian, so he wasn't...
Oh, he's not British. Oh, well, that makes sense. There's a lot of Brits that want to do it.
I think it's because when they're comedians, those festivals are really nice. And unlike the festivals here, they I think they pay you sometimes for your time.
Oh, really?
And you get put in nice places sometimes.
And the sun's out.
And the sun is out. And it's sort of like you want Edinburgh Festival to be because it's got sun and everyone's in a good mood as opposed to rain in the sun and it's horrible.
Opposed to angrily eating nachos.
Angrily eating nachos, which is how I first met David. Angrily eating nachos because you're having a bad day at the festival. I've done that. I went to that.
I've done worse things at the festival.
Yeah, I once went and I had such a bad gig at the Edinburgh Festival that I went and had four of those like sausage roll things from Pie Maker. Oh, but like four straight at once. It's like 1% meat in those. I don't know what the rest of that patty is, but it's not me.
Did you order one, eat it, realise it's not enough, and then order another one and do it that way, or did you order them all
you
at once?
You know I got them all at once.
You did get them all
at once. What I was going to do was eat until I couldn't eat anymore, and it turns out that...
Did you line them up and put them in your mouth in one action?
Oh, I would love that. Cartoon style. Yeah. No, it was more like a machine, you know, like that. Mm.
A semi-automatic.
Yeah, semi-automatic. Tell you what, though, I did feel better after. Not physically, but mentally.
That's a good title for an Edinburgh show, My Semi-Automatic Now.
Yeah.
or a sex tape, I don't know which one. So, wait, are you going to Edinburgh this year?
I am this year. I'm going to Edinburgh with a show that is called... well, it's got a stupid name. It's called Holes of Joy. And
you are going to get very specific.
Yeah. See, I didn't... It's not a sex show. So what I've done is, on the poster, which I haven't made yet, but when I do, underneath the title, I'm just going to have in brackets, not a sex show, so that people don't come along thinking it's a sex show.
Yeah.
Because it's not
they
a sex show.
They would be disappointed.
There's bits about sex in it, but it's not... It's as called, sexual
what,
a show.
Holes of Glory.
Holes of Joy. No, see, it's not called Holes of Glory. It's really specifically called Holes of Joy.
It's Glory of Holes, David.
No. It's Holes of Joy. If it were Holes of Glory, I could understand people coming along with their dicks out. But it's not.
So tell us about Joy Holes, your dish.
Well, when you're both quite finished.
Or just tell us about your Joy Holes.
What do you think it sounds like a much too sexual title? It's a very sexual title. Well,
the fact that you're going to have to put a disclaimer on the
phone. It means we're too sexual. No,
just sneeze at the same time.
We can cut that out.
No, let's not keep it. It's so.
Chris just did a sneeze that can only be described as wet.
Absolutely. It was so sexualized, you made Chris come out his nose.
I know. That's what I want from all my.
I was trying not to be sexist and hold it in, but apparently it just comes out your nose anyway.
It really does. It's not sexist to hold it in.
That's fantastic. I've had that in my head for like a week. There you go, Wednesday.
Wow. I think we found out which holes are Chris's holes of glory.
I'm good on dates.
Excuse me, I'm just going to gross you out and then I'll come right back and be charming.
Charming. I can walk anything off.
It's just called Lowering Expectations, which is the name of probably next year's show. Yeah, because this year's Holes of Joy, and then they'll come out going... There wasn't nearly enough about men's toilets in there. It's like, next year, I promise.
So what's Holes of Joy about?
Nothing yet, because I haven't written it.
You just picked this title?
No, see, what it was, I guess being a depressive, I tend to see things very negatively. And I was trying, because the world is so crap at the moment, not for me personally, I'm a lady, but like generally speaking, there's crap from all directions. Everywhere you look, something terrible is happening. And it does start to get people down. And I had this idea, it felt like I was being suffocated by a blanket of sadness. And that felt like what life was, just misery. And then it felt like if you poke little holes in it, you know, then you can sort of reach back to joy. And I described this to a friend of mine and they said, so you're saying life is misery? And I was like, well, yeah, I guess that's my new theory. And he's like, yeah, that's Buddhism. I was like, oh, it was you, wasn't it?
It was me.
It was Chris. He said it. Oh, God, I completely forgot. Ooh. I was describing it to some dude. I'm glad I didn't embellish and be like,
dude.
Some friend of mine. I remember we were standing on a tube, but I can't remember who it was. It was Chris. And he said, yeah, that's Buddhism.
You've been getting tubes together.
And I was like, yeah, once.
That's it.
No big deal.
We don't even talk. We just sit next to each other on the tube.
We do. You give her an idea for an Edinburgh show.
Yes, I do.
No, it wasn't an idea for an Edinburgh show. It was stabbing in the heart the Edinburgh show I had decided to do. I think I invented Buddhism.
Yes.
Chris tells me I haven't. Uh-huh. And now the show is ruined.
you told me the idea, and I said, Buddhism.
Was the working title Buddhism hashtag...
hashtag Andrea says
hashtag copyright
just when you think Buddhism got it right.
Basically Buddhism brackets I agree finally. I didn't really know much about Buddhism, so now I've got to learn about Buddhism. Thanks Chris,
you're welcome.
It's better that he points it out now.
So now my blurb says, if that sounds like Buddhism, just don't tell her because she thinks she invented it.
Very nice.
I'm not even kidding.
That's actually good. But I remember you saying it is a good point, because that is the first...
Yeah, Buddha thought so.
It's like the rule of Buddhism. It's the first thing they teach you is that life is misery, but it's about finding that joy and bringing it to yourself and expecting
But they didn't... They left out the part where it's a blanket.
Yeah, they didn't say blanket.
Oh, he's not visual,
no.
Buddha, is he?
No.
So,
Or her.
Yeah, or her.
There's a wonderful Buddhist centre around the corner from here. Quite truly, I'm not making this up. You're looking at me like...
Where I used to live in Bethnal Green, I used to go there and meditate.
Yeah, he has pointed completely in the wrong direction.
Sure.
But this is an audio format, so it doesn't matter. It's over there.
They're both trying to point to Mecca, or are you trying to point to Buddha?
To Buddha.
To the East End Buddhist Centre. Right.
It's in the old Bethnal Green fire station.
Okay.
And lovely yoga lessons and meditation lessons. And
you are full of surprises.
It's run by the gentleman that runs it. Is a very East End bloke, and his name is like, hello everybody.
That is not an East End bloke.
Is this your guy Richard?
No, I said bloke, not bloke. There's two different types.
You were doing, I think, what I would describe
international
as
gay.
An effete gentleman. But, you know, with an edge, but he wasn't like your Jeff Innocent. Do you know what I mean?
It was Jeff Innocent. He works in the Buddhist Centre.
I wouldn't put that past you.
Hello, everybody. Time to meditate. Yes, Jeff.
I know you did. I will not argue.
Time to meditate, you cunts.
Remove any thoughts from your mind.
And your shoes.
And your wallet and your keys. Sorry.
Anyway, the point is, I'm probably not going to the Buddha Center, but I will at least give Buddha a credit in my show. Agreed? Yeah?
I'll give him a little, I recommend the Buddha Center.
I'll do a postscript. I'll just be like, yeah, Buddha said.
Just doing a especially thanks to...
Especially thanks to Buddha?
Yeah.
Who else would I thank? Who else would you thank?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say it, but I did point it out.
I am not thanking Chris at the end of my show.
I never want a thanks from anyone that I give anything.
You literally
to.
Just asked.
What
for
I actually
you
are,
just asked.
What
for.
I am asking for is an especially no thanks.
Yeah.
A kick in the teeth.
A kick in the fucking face.
I can't believe this is all memorialised for all to hear that you semi explained.
That's why we got you here. Yeah.
This is bullshit.
So, are we done?
Yeah, we're done. I've got everything I need. Thanks very much.
Copyright.
It's out. It's in the airwaves. So
Cambridge Analytica already know.
Yeah. They know a lot more about me than I think they care to. Sometimes I will just talk out my phone.
Surely
I'll open up all the
microphones. So all the microphones.
All the microphones and all the apps, and I'll just be like, so guys, I assume you're men. And then just start talking about what I want.
Yeah, this is good. The whole Facebook, everyone listening thing is great news for the lonely. Someone's always listening.
Just throw it out into the ether.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally is some sort of technological version of The Secret. It's not about asking the universe, it's about asking the internet.
Just asking your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want a pony.
I want a pony, and then it will send you adverts for ponies you can't afford. So it's not really giving you what you want.
Bastards.
It's showing you how to buy what you want, which you already knew.
But it's showing you a path, much like God once did.
Oh.
See, it's the new God.
Once did what before you retired.
Sorry.
Okay. So how long have you been doing stand-up comedy?
About 7 years now.
7 years.
Yeah.
What was your first gig like?
My first gig was at the... downstairs room of a pub.
Uh-huh, like many
people. Like most people. Mm-hmm. And I forgot...
That's how Chris lost his virginity.
Lovely stuff, lovely stuff.
On stage in front of a crowd.
That's hot. That's just how Buddha would have done it.
And he did put a bucket out at the end.
Oh, that's so visual.
For payment, not her.
No, that's so visual. Oh, God, I hope there's a plastic bag in it. What did I say to your question? Oh, yeah, downstairs in a pub. It went pretty well. I remember, like, forgetting what I'd written. Because it's all a script when you first start. Yeah. You know, you memorise everything and you're not really in the moment at all. And so I forgot everything because I didn't learn it properly because I don't prepare things properly. And so I forgot it all. And I just sort of, I guess I just ad-libbed and started doing a bit of crowd work. And then I remembered it again and finished off on a completely nonsense bit that didn't tie in with any of the other things I'd said, and it went well, and I was quite pleased. The second one I bombed really hard, but
it's quite a common experience. The first gig is sort of like a beginner's luck, or some sort of like you're so out of your mind to be there that it is a bizarrely a nice experience.
The nerves were insane,
and then the next 20 gigs are more of a crash down to earth about how difficult
it is. No, my experience was that almost all of them went incredible.
Every single one up to now.
Just so amazing. I can't relate to you at all. No, he's right. Just naturally talented. No, it was really hard. It's really hard. I thought it was not that I ever thought it would be easy, but it's the initial, you do well and you're an open micer and you're doing well and everything's good and you've got your 5 minutes, and then, oh God, I'll never do 10. Oh God, I'll never do 15. I'll never be able to do 20. 20 seems like so long to be on stage.
Yeah. I found that I only ever went up in time on stage when somebody booked me to do more time.
Yeah.
And it was their mistake. They thought that I did 20s. And I'd never done a 20, but I went, oh, right, well, I suppose I'm going to have to work out how to do this now.
You're supposed to jump a little before you're ready. And I think that I've never been particularly brave. So when I first started, I was like, oh, I'm not ready for that. And I turned down a couple of opportunities that I think, looking back, I should have just taken.
Uh-huh.
Not that it particularly matters, but I realised quite, not too quickly, but after, when someone says, do you want to do half an hour? And my brain is screaming, no, you can't do half an hour. And my voice will go, yes, of course I'll do that half an hour. Because once you say yes, you have to do the time.
Yeah.
But in a good way, that's how you move forward. Like when you used to do homework because you had to hand it in.
Uh-huh.
Or you did well because you couldn't not do well at something. It's the same principle. Mm. It's the only structure we have, is someone booking you for something.
Yeah.
And you having to fulfill that booking with enough material.
How do you find a half an hour goes? Do you feel it feels like forever when you're up there, or does it fly
now?
By?
No, now it's fine. Mm. But the first half an hour was terrifying. Just the first 20 minutes was terrifying because you're really worried. And also because when you first start doing those, you're not 100% ready to be doing them, which again is sort of the point. Mm. But there's a flow to 20 minutes that is very different to a 10-minute flow, like the energy going up, don't you think?
Yeah.
Like 20 minutes on stage, you can't have them. I could get bored watching an episode of something in 20 minutes if it's not interesting enough. I want a few different things to happen. Mm. So if I was all one tone at the beginning, and 20 minutes of all that one tone was a lot to take, and now things are different and I move around more and I change my voice up and down, and 20 minutes is much shorter to me now. An hour is still terrifying though.
So by changing your tone, do you mean you sort of just do slightly different voices to bring the energy up and bring it back down?
Not necessarily. Voices is the wrong thing to say. It's not about voices. It's like, you know, the amount of energy you give something. So like some bits need more energy than other bits. But I think I was all one gear at the beginning. And now I can shift gear depending on what the audience is like, I think.
It's funny how...
But again, I mean, so much to learn.
It's funny how perceptions... I go to a lot of short film nights, and a short film that's like 7 minutes long can bore me out of my mind.
Yeah.
But I've never been bored in the first 7 minutes of a feature film.
Isn't that interesting? But it's because your mindset is, this is a feature film, so I'm going to give it at least 20 minutes to build a premise. Mm. Whereas if you stand on stage, you take 20 minutes to build a premise of your hour-long show. So a film is like, what, an hour and 15, hour and 20, and an hour-long show, 20 minutes but without anything really interesting happening in an hour-long show is way too much time. You need to build your premise in 2 minutes, the same as in a set, you know?
Yeah.
I think.
It's kind of the way you do a talk or a lecture. You sort of go over, you give a summary of what you're going to go through over the next half an hour, 3 hours, and then you summarize it at the end. And it is, I guess, giving everyone an expectation. So it sets them up.
Chris has just been doing a tour of the North, influencing young minds.
Tour of the North doing what?
Not stand-up.
No, I know, but what have you been doing?
The universities in Northern England.
And what are you talking about?
They won't have me in the South. Screenwriting.
Hair styling.
Yes,
And screenwriting.
Hair styling and screenwriting, how the two can join in the middle. It's the first, apparently. I don't know why.
Good hair knows good hair.
Good hair gets the job done, is the title of that lecture.
I mean, you do have good hair, man.
Thank you very much, I grow it myself. It's quite an easy gig, really, lecturing. Because that was one of those things where I got asked to do it, and my mouth said yes, and in my mind I went, no, why? Because it's 3 hours of keeping, I know that, you know,
you give a 3 hour lecture?
Sometimes three, I gave a 5 hour at one.
Oh my God,
yeah,
if I had to listen to myself for that long, I would not be able to cope very well with
I try not to listen to myself. I go 5 minutes in and I don't know what I've just said.
No, well, yeah, exactly. Sometimes I'm on stage and I've gone 5 minutes in and it's like, which bit did I do? I don't know.
It's the strange thing. Like, now I'm very used to it, so I'm absolutely fine. If they say 3 hours, I'm like, great, that's an easy one. And I can just do it. But
you change your goalposts as you get better at something. Mm. But like, obviously, I'm still like, I still shit myself at 45 minutes. Like, I still shit myself at an hour.
Yeah. But, see, you know, the idea of doing 5 minutes of stand-up absolutely terrifies me. I don't think I can do it. But I can go and do 3 hours without. Oh no, I don't think I definitely can't.
I don't. I've never heard you write a joke. Or seen you write a joke, but yeah, exactly. I know what I mean is, like, I'm not going to say you can or you can't do it. But David is very comfortable saying you can't do it.
Yeah, I know. He knows me well, and he's right. And I'm glad he's here to stop me, because sometimes being around so many comedians, I do get a little tempted.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he's there, I'm like, no, thank you, David.
I would have been quite happy for you to do as well.
I would definitely watch. I would watch that.
Bastards.
Only because I really hate seeing my friends struggle. If it's an important thing for them, like I hate seeing people do their first late in live and get screamed at. Like, some people like that, I don't like that, but it is funny to see someone do their very first gig ever and die horribly.
Really?
Because if that person gets up again, that's impressive.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. Isn't it? That's the real test. If you die and then can get back up and do it again and get.
Well, no. I mean, if you die and you're not funny, you probably shouldn't get back up. But but if you die, but you know that you're actually funny and it just didn't work that time, like there are some people who took ages to get good in the open mic circuit that are brilliant now.
Yeah, well, that's true. There's no timetable. Some people are like, you know.
It clicks in.
I was at Andy Osho's first ever gig and she just looked like a pro. You know, she just looked like a professional comedian.
Yeah.
Straight off the bat. Some people like
I had to
knock
learn,
around forever.
I had to learn to be comfortable on stage because I wasn't at first. I was like, what am I doing here?
But, how did you do that? Just by doing
just
it?
Just by doing it all the time, every day.
Oof. I was at an open mic thing on Tuesday. It's the one very close to where I live.
They can be quite sniffy if they don't know you. It's really weird. Like, you're like begging for stage time and you're like, you know, you've just done a weekend somewhere and you have to be nice and everyone's nice, but they're all just like, yeah, we're really, how many gigs have you done? And you're like, I don't know, man. Like,
couple thousand.
I don't know. Please let me come and do 5 minutes.
But there were some people there that I thought were that quite obviously had some, they had a comedian's mind. You could tell that they knew how to form a joke, but they just looked like a fish out of water. There's something very strange that happens to the cadence of people's voices when they're uncomfortable as well.
Yeah.
There's a sort of real sort of artifice to it that just sounds so false. And then just one day, after maybe 10 gigs or 10,000 gigs, suddenly you're comfortable, but then it becomes your natural environment.
But it's not too comfortable. It's still being watched and you can fail at any moment, but it's the idea that you're supposed to be on the stage. That took me ages. Some people are just born to be on stage. I'm definitely not one of those. I very much wanted to get up there and say stuff, but every time I got up there, I was like,
You write otherwise, though, didn't you? You're you're a writer that performs rather than performer that writes.
Well, I've taught myself some performing stuff, and now I feel really good about it, but I definitely always wrote more. Right. I performed in school, but not much after. I've been writing with... I write sitcom scripts, and I have... I've got this unique talent where I can sell them, but they don't get on TV. It's wonderful, really. I'd like to go the rest of my career just continuing to do that.
Oh, right. Okay.
The hassle of developing an actual show. What a nightmare that must be.
That would be like having a job, right?
Oh, God, that would mean that you get to see the fruition of your labours and people laugh at something that you did. Or not, but you did it. No, no, I'd rather just sell the scripts and have them float to the
bottom. I had the horror of that dawn on me recently where... I say horror, but it's where there's two companies after one project, and I was thinking, right, okay, which one would take which, and then I was like, well, what if I could split it into two different ones, and then what if it becomes two? I was like, that's a job. Then I'd be a job. I'd have to be there every day, every single day.
I would happily be there every day if the end result was one of my things getting on a network show. Like, that would be amazing. Yeah, we've written about 8 scripts, and we've sold about 5 of them, which is pretty good going. And my partner is also a stand-up comedian, Ryan Carl. You were saying earlier that you think we're very mismatched.
I didn't say mismatched. I was just sort of like puzzled that how you came to be...
We met at a gig about 6 years ago, and then we moved in together and just started writing together. We started writing these sketches together, and then we ended up winning some stuff, and then we got commissioned from that, and then we've been working ever since. And we work a lot, and we are currently working on 2 movie scripts, which is really fun. But it can be very thankless, because we've got to the point now where they will pay us for a treatment, but they're still not going to pay us for a full script. And we generally tend to, like, unless they've bought it, but we generally will write a treatment. But if you know anything about treatments, they're a load of rubbish, really. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're not going to convince somebody to make your show.
I'd have kept that to yourself if you're earning a living off the back of
that. I'm not. You don't earn a living off the back of that. No, mm. I earn a living in other ways. But
how intriguing.
But it's a good thing to do. But because, you know, neither of us were scriptwriters before we started scriptwriting. So for us, there's so much value in writing the full script, regardless of whether anyone is going to buy it. Like, people were asking me, you know, I don't want to write the whole script if they're not going to buy it. And I kept saying to them, then you don't really want to do this, because we wanted to learn. And I know that it sounds really sort of do-goodery, but whilst we weren't getting paid, the reason that things now get sold is because they're better, because we taught ourselves to write.
Yeah.
But if you won't do anything that you don't get paid for at the beginning, that's a pretty weird way to go about it.
That's not how the game works anymore either. You can't get paid before you do the work. You've got to do the work. You've got to do the practice.
We're better because of it, but it can get very demoralising. We tend to have our breakdowns at different times. So when I'm down, he's up.
Of the day.
Yeah, well, of the week. So, like, I'll just be like, nothing is working, let's give up. And he's in a really good place. He's like, no, it's great, we're great, this is okay. And then I do the same for him. If we ever had one at the same time, we would implode, I think. Yeah, I'm actually going to officiate at his marriage.
Oh, really?
Yes, I am. I get to write my own stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's not going to be. It's going to be terrible. I'm very good friends with his wife to be. So, and she chose me as officiant, and she knows me. So I think it's going to be okay.
Amazing. Yeah. Mallorca.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, look at you showing off the information you know. It's in Mallorca.
I know where that wedding is.
I haven't been invited, but they can't stop me.
Yeah, he's conveniently got it 1 month before Edinburgh. It's really, really annoying.
Oh,
it's very selfish to have.
So selfish. Oh, my God.
Will he be joining you in Edinburgh?
No. Ryan's not a big fan of the whole... Well, I mean, he did a great show last year, or the year before, I think it was, but... Edinburgh's a lot of money, and it's a lot of stress.
He did a paid show as well, didn't he? He did the Gilded Balloon.
Yeah.
Where are you doing
it? The same place, Gilded same time as he was. Yeah, Gilded Balloon. I'm really pleased
to
be there.
In the wee room?
Yeah, exactly, at 2 p.m. I'm very pleased to be there. I really like the Gilded Balloon. I really like Karen. Get on very well with her. And,
Oh, so you've done shows there before? Have you?
No, but she wanted me to. And it's, to be honest, when someone likes you and you like them, then you're like, okay, that works for me. Yeah. You know, I think I think I'm really lucky to have the room, to be honest. There's so many people going up, and there's so many people who want rooms and good times, etc. So I'm really happy to be somewhere good.
Good for you. I hope it goes well.
Oh, God, I hope I write it soon.
Yeah.
I hope it gets written.
So do you have your arc for Halls of Joy? Can you say what it is at the moment? Or?
Is there an arc? There is a potential arc.
Mm-hmm.
There is an arc. There's definitely an ethereal beginning and a potential middle and undefined end.
It's a very good log line.
So yeah, it's a.
Chris has an undefined end.
Yeah, lovely.
Just goes to blur.
Just like a Japanese porn. Oh, Chris. I wasn't sure I was going to say it. Then you started saying it. I was like, oh, okay, we can say that. Can we Japanese porn? Yeah.
Just one half.
What happens in Japanese porn?
They just blur out all the good bits. All you just hear is a lot of screaming.
All the good bits.
And you're like, what went
What's
where?
What's the point in it, then?
There's no point.
It's about
There's the image. No
the point.
Point.
The point is one of the things they blur out.
You can't see the point.
Because
can't
in Japan, implication is sexy.
You know? Right, okay.
That's why it's sexy outfits exist. They cover up the sexual bits.
Implication is sexy. Where is that really?
Implying the sex is happening, even though you can't quite see it.
So what? But it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. You know it's happening because it's porn and you've gone on RedTube to find it. You know?
RedTube?
Or wherever you go. I don't know where people go. Pornhub. The point is, I know where I go.
RedTube is a...
Isn't yeah, it? It's just very old-fashioned.
Yeah, it's quite old-fashioned.
Yeah, it's like saying, oh, well, you know, I was writing my penny farthing the other day.
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, it still exists, but yes, it's true. It was one of the first ones, and now I think people don't go to it anymore so much.
No.
It's still your preferred.
No, it was an example. I'm not telling you my preferred one on here so that you can go and look at all my favourite videos.
Wait, you've created an account?
Yeah, I've got a folder. It's like Andrea's favourites. Nobody
You're
knows.
One of the weird people that comment on porn videos.
I'm not, but those people are my favourite people in the world.
How like, often do you visit?
Not very often. I don't want to talk about porn on here. Wait, I do... I
save it for the comment section of the porn videos I watch.
Those commenters are nuts.
Mad.
Like, they are crazy nuts. It's like, I understand
you
being...
Do you remember some of your favourites?
Well, it's like, oh, she looks like she'd make a nice pie. And it's like, that's the sort of thing that I'd say
Cream
when doing
pie.
Feminist... No, just regular, like apple.
Which
like
makes it
feminist
weirder.
Comedy, do you know what I mean? And I was like, well, shit, or this or that. And it's like weird stuff that has nothing to do with the sex.
Yeah.
Or did anyone hear a weird noise at 3:05 seconds? And you're like, yeah, but who cares? They're very odd people.
That's the peculiar point, isn't it, where pornography goes from being like a functional thing to a hobby.
Well, everything's social. Like, the idea of social media is so you can connect with others.
Mm.
So why wouldn't you connect over, you know... a certain video that you enjoyed, like, but why would you as well?
Find your people.
Find
That's
your people.
That's where they are.
Find your tribe.
Find
it's
your
like,
tribe.
It's like
that sounds
tribe.
Like that sounds like a log line for a terrible, terrible shoe, doesn't it?
Shoes have log lines.
Like something like like the new Nike trainer. Find your tribe.
Oh,
your
I see.
Tribe. You know, even when you're running, like. Do you ever find that you think you're going to fit in somewhere and then it turns out that the thing that you've got to has a million different, like, factions in it?
Well, stand-up comedy.
Stand-up comedy is a good one. Like, I thought everyone would be friends and it turns out it's just like school. And other things, like when I started running.
What school was like.
So, oh, it was horrific. And you do something like running and I start running in the park and I'm not accepted by all the runners. Some of them won't smile at me. Am I wearing I'm wearing the wrong things. I haven't got all the gear, so I'm clearly not a real runner. And then some will smile at you.
Surely it's just they're either a smiler or they're not smiling.
No.
I don't know.
So what I mean is they're either a smiler.
Yeah.
They're not looking you up and down and going, wrong shoes, I'm not smiling at you.
I think they are, and I'll thank you not to disabuse that notion. That is my paranoia, and I've decided that they are. They all hate me, and I stopped running because of the bullies, not because I was tired. So
that's a good reason. Yeah. That's a good bullying excuse.
Because of the bullies.
What have you replaced it with?
I've been watching a lot of yoga on YouTube.
Go to the Buddhist Center. The yoga lessons are great.
Yeah.
No, there's
run by Jeff Innocent.
There's a lady called Yoga.
Give us your damn dog.
Yeah. Well, every time David tries to make it dirty, I've just ignored him. I'm telling the listeners now. I'm just ignoring him.
I wasn't trying to make that dirty.
There's a woman called Adrienne, and she does like yoga videos, short yoga videos. So, and she's brilliant. She's so she's so like, I would never be friends with Adrienne. Adrienne's she's like, she talks about sort of like really opening up your heart and like just and ooh, letting
that
the,
sounds terrible.
Yeah, awesome. And letting the energy like really enter your heart and sort of fizz down your legs. And the other day, me and my friends,
she's wetting herself.
I don't know, but the other day, me and my friends
she's
are
got
watching
fizzy
her.
Wee.
Are you?
We're watching this video where D'Angelo is completely naked, and he's got these like you know those grooves that
oh,
really
yeah. Yeah,
fit
yeah.
guys
yeah.
get. And Evelyn just goes, "Look at his cum gutters," and I was like, "Oh my god, cum gutters is the best thing I've ever heard." And the next thing I know, I'm watching yoga with Adrienne. Open your heart, and I've just got cum gutters in my head. So,
well, we know you've got cum gutters in your head.
Oh, David. I know I started it, but I didn't like what I'd started. Yeah, so I watch her, and the other day I actually decided I was going to do one of the poses. So I learned child's pose, and it's really nice.
Which one is, what do you do for
child's
pose?
Child's pose is where you just bend over on the floor and you just lie there for a bit.
Oh.
It's brilliant.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, I had a little nap.
Yeah.
Yeah, my chakra touched my forehead. It was a whole thing.
Yeah, that happened to me once. Yeah. Well, once it hit me in the eye, I was a fucking nightmare. I had red eye for a week.
I love yoga. I'm a big yoga fan.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you a yoga? Didn't know that about you.
I went to India for a couple of weeks, so yoga retreat once.
What?
Yeah, to Kerala.
He's someone who picks up 18-year-old girls with that line.
Yeah. I was in India for 2 weeks, eating nachos angrily.
Just backpacking, living off the land, no big deal. Just casual. Yeah, I just really like the people.
Yeah, really opened my heart.
Oh, I didn't talk to any of the people. That's what I was.
Living room humour.
I do enjoy yoga, and I did go to there's a particular teacher called David Tsai. He does a quite meditative yoga as well, but he also does this sort of like quite visceral yoga to music called Yoga Beats.
With a Z.
I don't know if it does.
Then I'm not interested.
All right.
Yoga Beats.
I don't think it does have a Z, I'm afraid. I think it's conventional spelled. Stumbled across his classes at a gym once and really liked his classes, and he moved on and I went to other yoga lessons and they never felt really like exercise. I then suggested it, I was at the time going out with somebody who was trying to get into yoga, and I said, oh, well, look up this guy. I found his classes really good. And then before I knew it, we were in India doing a 2-week retreat with him. And I was like, I meant to go to his lessons in Abbey Road, not Kerala.
Wait, so you went as a couple to India on a yoga retreat?
Yeah, we're not together anymore.
I was about to say, that sounds like an anchor baby, man. Yeah. That sounds like a last minute ditch attempt to save something.
Yeah. Let's go to India for a yoga retreat.
Or we'll get a dog, or we have a bloody baby.
Yeah. Or we'll end up in an orgy if we end up in India. Yes. Really help us connect.
Because of a problem with the website.
And the relationship.
This guy's really popular. He's a really top, like, very popular, very busy yoga teacher who sells out massive conferences to teachers.
You are now trumping your yoga teacher. But he is the best.
But he's because of a problem with their website, we were the only people that are booked.
That's so kind of amazing. You got one on one, one on two.
Me, my girlfriend, and him.
That's amazing.
For the whole 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
You are you a regular yogurer now?
I don't go to classes, but I would do yoga.
I do private practice
yoga. Yeah. It's like self surgery.
Yeah, I do that too.
Yeah. We've all done a bit of self surgery.
I do my own acupuncture. I have never trained.
That's heroin love.
I have never trained, and I genuinely believe I know what I'm doing.
Wait,
you genuinely do your own acupuncture?
Yeah, I do.
On your back? Or do you just do front because you can't?
I do like face.
Oh my goodness.
I do my own face acupuncture.
I wondered how that would happen.
You'll never know, people. But essentially, there's something. Well, it was one of the things that was related to Holes of Joy. Like, I wanted to have a poster with, because you know it makes these tiny holes, but it also revives your skin. And I went and had it done, and I said to the woman, "Look, you're too expensive. If I do this myself, how high are my chances of doing some damage?" And she said, "Honestly, like they're not that high." And I was like, "Okay, done."
She shouldn't have said that.
She should not have said that, but she was really honest. I was like, "I cannot pay you £70 a session just to freshen up. Like, that's insane." So now I do it myself, and I feel pretty goddamn fresh.
Wow. Do you have a bit about your self-acupuncture?
No. Is it funny?
It's very funny.
Fucking hilarious.
I do my own.
I love the idea of you at home.
Just self-acupuncture.
Just sticking a pin in your own face.
I feel like without... it should be you with the pins in your face.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I
think there should be different types of, like, a drawing pin, a safety pin.
I use proper yoga.
An unwinded... paperclip.
That does not have a pointy end, and I think you know that. So,
but that shows skill.
I'm just going to show you something, and you show you my skills as a yogi.
Oh my goodness, this is...
Not a yogi, I keep saying that.
They're darts.
I'm showing them a picture of me with
darts.
Looks like you've
forehead.
Been taken down on the savannah.
It took more than one. Yeah. This lion is angry enough for that. Yeah.
You know, at the end of a bull fight, when a bull has got all those spears in it. And it's quivering on its front legs as its face buries into the dust.
I am pleased to say that I do not know what a bull looks like at the end of a bullfight.
The end of its horrible existence.
I cannot imagine anything more horrible than watching that to completion.
Yeah,
like, do you know what I mean? So there's
issues of the term to completion.
Yeah, to completion. Yeah. I don't want to watch either a bull fight to its death or a man fight to its death. It just
sounds like the worst version of Pop-Up Pirate, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know what that is, but yes.
You've got the pirate in a barrel and you shove swords into it.
Oh, yes. Well, I don't mind that. As a child's game, that's teaching a valuable lesson.
Well, not to get in any barrels.
Just don't get in a barrel. What's,
with a pirate.
Don't get in a barrel. The end.
Interesting.
Don't get in a barrel.
Don't put your end in a barrel.
There was this serial killer who hid... it was at the end of the... Crimean War. I can't remember the name of his. I can't remember his name, but Eleanor Morton would know it. She likes serial killers, and he used to put all the bodies in these barrels and then fill them with oil, and the oil would. I was about to say colden, but harden with cold, and then they. He died fighting in the war, and they found like 20 oil barrels in the back of his house with 20 bodies in them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a handy tip to know. Is that
that's classic comedy, guys.
Yeah, you do some self surgery with the
classic comedy right there.
So, do you feel that over the years you've been going, that your comedy's developed into something? You know, it's like a tangible piece. Like, you understand the theme of your comedy now, or do you feel like you're
still have no idea?
Still growing.
Is the honest truth. I've watched people I started with become that, and it's great, and I feel very happy that they have done that. I myself have not quite got there yet.
Mm. Do you feel you will, or because there's different types? You know, you can.
I don't know the answer.
Are you asking if she'll get better?
Yeah. Am I going to be able to put you in some kind of pigeonhole?
Some people do. They sort of like pigeonhole themselves into a character type, or some other people they just cover.
But I think that it's all very forgiving. If you change your mind and you decide you're not doing that anymore, and you're doing something else, as long as that something else is great, then you'll be fine. You know, Josie Long said, you know, you should never just stick with one thing. If you think about Josie Long at the beginning and Josie Long now, her sort of tone of voice might be the way she is on stage might be the same, but the shit she's talking about is very, very different. Now to what it was when she was 17, which makes perfect sense. I don't know what I am. I have an idea of where I'm going, but, you know, I don't...
To your halls of glory.
To the halls of glory. It's joy. It's joy. Joy and glory aren't the same thing.
But they're both strippers.
They're both strippers.
They will both be your next
one. One is arrogant and one is nice, you know?
You start interviewing strippers on this podcast.
No, David, I've told you 100 times.
We don't need any more than one comedy club that used to be a strip club. Thank you so much.
Which comedy clubs used to be strip clubs?
Comedy Store, famously.
Did it?
Not the one that is the venue that it's in, though.
No, not the venue that it's in.
The original Comedy Store was a strip club, and they did the show after the stripping. I love the fact that it was that way around. Once people are too exhausted for tits, let's give them some jokes.
I think maybe it's like once we've got the tits out the way and they are no longer... Like, if you try and do jokes before the tits have come out...
No, but...
no one wants your jokes because they're like, where are the boobs? But if they've seen all the boobs, they're like, I've
seen
okay,
all the boobs.
Now it's time for some jokes.
I have seen all of the boobs.
I don't like going on after anyone but another comic. I don't like going on after a band.
No, mixed discipline evenings. I used to run an evening with a friend of mine, Emma Keel, who's a theatre person.
I know her.
Oh, you know him?
Very vaguely. We met years and years and years ago at a party, and we stayed in touch because of Facebook, and I see her doing theatre stuff all the time, yeah.
She's about to go off on tour with the curious incident, The Dog
Good
in the Night, with the National Theatre.
I say I know her, I think I've met her once. But she was just theatre-y, so I always looked at what she was doing.
Well, we were theatre people, buddies, before I went into stand-up, and she sort of like would come to lots of gigs and kind of, I wanted a bit of this world but knew she wasn't a comic, so she produced this evening that was a variety night, but audiences just could not deal with it. They couldn't have...
They can't have gear changes.
Yeah, they couldn't have some guy coming on and dropping bombs of sort of like jokes about echoing vaginas or whatever, and then some girl
was
coming
that you?
On... yeah, it might have been me. And then some girl coming on with no shoes and a guitar doing a song about her last breakup. They just couldn't shift gear or go from guy doing magic tricks to somebody coming on and doing... confessional comedy.
It's very, very difficult to go, I think, from an audience's perspective to shift your... I was just saying, all the work that I'm doing at the moment is so many different brands, and I can find it really difficult to shift my brain from one to the other in the same day. And you're not even talking about a full day, you're talking about an evening.
Do you find in your blog about banking, you just slip in a couple of dick jokes?
I would really like that. I used to slip in, when I was very... young and I was doing this job, I used to find ways to slip in really disgusting sentences.
Just keep on repeating slip in.
Yeah, slip it, slip in. Just horrible sentences like...
Why not slip into your brand new Flex account?
Yeah, stuff like that, yeah.
From
like
the British
that.
Centre.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome
ease yourself
to
into our new online shopping forum. Yeah, and crushing debt.
So 2 p.m. at the Gilded Balloon, Holes of Joy.
Holes of Joy. It's not glory. There will be no fucking glory.
There will be no glory.
There's never any glory.
Not
in
the city. Yeah, not in the city of Edinburgh during the month of August.
Maybe two people will get glory.
Yeah.
But
they have already the decision about who those two people will be.
Yeah, they will be
has already been made.
38.
I don't say this because
what's wrong with the age 38?
I don't think. Anyone has to agree with me, and I don't say this for points, but I think if you are going there to win something, you are doing it a bit wrong.
Yeah, definitely.
Because there's nothing wrong with being ambitious, of course, but ambition and winning that award aren't really the same thing.
Like, no.
If I can fill my room and I can do a really good show, I will be happy. I think.
Well, you've got a very small room, so...
Very small room. You think that was by accident?
It's actually called the Wii Room.
I know. It can fit 50... Today I ordered 50 Chinese fans.
Oh, because it is a very hot room.
It gets so hot.
It's amazing to go all the way to Scotland.
Oh, I thought you meant fans, like people, that will turn up and watch your show.
Wow.
I thought it was a joke, then I was like, wait a minute, where's the...
What a horrific joke. I ordered 50 Chinese fans to come every day. Do they have to pay for their own tickets? You're goddamn right.
Goddamn right. It's kind of the way you can...
But you know that there's going to be a lot of those. You're going to lose a lot of those.
No, I'm not. Because I will say at the beginning, don't take them with you.
Oh, that'll definitely work.
I will say nicely, please don't take them with. And they will say, all right, Andrea, since you are so nicely, they will do what I want because that is how things work.
Okay.
And if you disagree,
I'll see you over a plate of angry nachos.
I will see you over some nachos. No, I don't know, man. I just thought it was a nice thing to do. Because people do get really hot. What a banging way to end this. How people get really hot. So I
and
thought I'd
like
them
to slip into them.
Yeah. Oh, David. I don't know how many times I can just ignore your weird innuendos.
In your endo.
We both watch Friends in the 90s. I genuinely believe that half the humour that any of us had came from what show we watched in the 90s or whatever we did.
For me, it's Blackadder.
It was. I watched Blackadder. There was a whole heap of friends. Like so some of my mannerisms, you know, the way you say things, it's always very Chandler.
All my comedy, I used to perform like as a kid in school, like Chandler.
Yeah. Did same. I,
really? Like just really over.
The one that you identified with, the one whose problems you identified with, not necessarily his specific family. I should have identified with the Jews, you know, Ross and Monica, but that wasn't the kind of family I came from.
I judge people on who they identified with. So anyone that's like, oh yeah, I really like Phoebe, I'm like, oh, you're that person.
You know? No one likes Phoebe.
I like Phoebe.
Oh, here we go.
I like Phoebe. She's amazing.
But you're a Chandler.
I'm a Chandler. Chandler.
Chandlers are fine.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
We'll see you here at the Backyard Comedy Club soon, I'm sure.
I hope so. Bye.